And they pray and worship Allah Islamically, but they do not behave or speak Islamically. They speak and behave in a very disrespectful manner. They enter the masjid without respecting the atmosphere and the environment of the masjid. They come into the masjid, they do not respect the ground, the hallowed ground of the masjid, or the floor of the masjid, or the atmosphere and the environment of the masjid. They don't respect the people who join them for salah in the masjid. They don't respect the person behind whom they stand in salah, prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they read the Qur'an, but they don't respect the Qur'an. They treat the Qur'an like any other book. And sometimes you see an individual lying there on the floor, leaning against a pillar with his legs stretched out towards the Qibla, holding the Qur'an in one hand, reading it like some novel. And when somebody tries to advise him and say to him that, look, brother, don't lie on the floor reading the Qur'an in that fashion. Don't stretch your legs towards the Qibla. It's disrespectful. Now, the immediate response is that there's no evidence in the Sharia that you shouldn't, you can't stretch your legs towards the Qibla. And some people's understanding or attitude and response to such advice is that, oh, this is an Asian cultural thing, that you don't stretch your legs out towards someone, you don't stretch your legs out towards the Qibla. To stretch your legs out towards the Qibla is disrespectful. Sitting in a particular manner is disrespectful. This is all Asian culture. This comes from India, Bangladesh and Pakistan. And there's no concept in religion. Wrong. Allah has instructed us to respect the garlands by this very verse of the Qur'an that hang around the necks of sacrificial animals. Allah has told us to respect the ihram on the body of a pagan pilgrim. Allah has instructed us to respect the symbol of the hill of Safa and Marwa, to respect the plains of Muzdalifah, Arafat and Mina. Allah has told us to respect the direction of the Qibla in a hadith, in many ahadith. Don't we know the instruction in many ahadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us not to face the Qibla or to turn our back towards the Qibla when we are relieving ourselves. That's why toilets are built specifically and specially in a direction other than the Qibla. Not only should you not face towards the Qibla when relieving yourself, but you shouldn't turn your back towards the Qibla when relieving yourself. And this instruction is to be found in clear, authentic, categorical, unambiguous Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us to respect the direction of the Qibla by telling us that you should never spit in the direction of the Qibla. Do not spit in the direction of the Qibla. Rather, you should spit towards your left, not even towards your right, because the angel of good is on your right. So in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you spit, don't spit in the direction of the Qibla. Don't spit towards your right. Rather, spit towards your left, or best, spit beneath you and then trample over it. Or bury your saliva with the dirt and the dust of the earth. So imagine, if Allah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, don't spit in the direction of the Qibla, don't relieve yourself whilst facing or turning your back towards the Qibla. Why? Because even the direction of a Qibla is a symbol of Allah and it should be respected. The Qibla itself is a symbol of Allah and it should be respected. Why amongst all these directions has Allah chosen for us to face in this particular direction? It should be respected. The Qur'an is not just any novel. It should be respected. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest scholars of Islam, one of the Imams of Islam, he says that I have never in my life stretched my legs towards the house of my teacher, Imam Hammad, rahmatullahi alayhi, even though his house was 7 streets away. Allah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says, my teacher Imam Hamad rahmatullahi alayhi, I have never stretched my legs towards his house whilst being in my own house. Whilst being in my own house in the privacy of my own home, I have not stretched my legs towards my teacher's house. And my teacher's house, Hamad's house, was 7 streets away. And that's his teacher. Imagine the Qibla. The book, the Qur'an, is not just any normal book. This contains the kalam, the speech of Allah. this is a revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be revered and respected. And it should not be treated like a normal book or a novel that you can lounge around and read at leisure. Why is it that we are not allowed to touch the Qur'an without performing wudu? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَّهَرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Only the pure, only those who have been purified shall touch the Qur'an. This is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. Some people argue that, oh no, this verse refers to the angels. By this verse, the ulama have concluded that you cannot touch the Qur'an without being in the state of wudu. Before you touch the book of Allah, you must purify yourself, just as you purify yourself for salah, before for standing before Allah. And just as this book is guarded and revered and respected in the heavens by the pure angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who guard it lovingly and who cherish it, similarly, the book of Allah azza wa jal should be cherished, revered and loved and respected on earth. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla has, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us to respect even the inanimate objects of religion. Any symbol of Allah's religion. Now why? Because of the connection. We do not respect the Kaaba because it's a simple building, but we respect it because it's connection with Allah. We do not respect the black stone because it's a stone, like any other rock, but because of its connection with Allah. And that's why Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he would stand before the black stone, before kissing it. And it's mentioned in the narrations that he would stand before it and say the following words. He would say that, oh black stone, I know that you are but a stone. You cannot harm me, nor can you benefit me. And you possess no power to harm or benefit anyone. And had it not been for the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed you, I would have never kissed you. And then having said these words, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would fall upon the black stone, rub his face against it, love it and kiss it. Now, why? It's just a stone. Because of its connection with Allah. The hills of Safa and Marwa, the black stone in the corner of the Kaaba, the cube building of the Kaaba itself, the direction, the Qibla, the direction of the Kaaba, the Qibla, the plains of Arafat, Muzdalifa and Mina. Why are all of these to be respected and to be revered? Ultimately, they are just sand, dust, bricks, mortar, and rocks. And a direction because of their connection with Allah. And that's why in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal expects of us, and Allah has obliged us, Allah has imposed upon us, that we show respect and veneration to anything that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to anyone and anything to whom Allah has obliged us to show respect, such as one's parents. Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm not going to make this into a speech of parents' rights. The topic has been discussed time and time again by various people in many different ways. But I won't speak about the obedience of the parents or the love of the parents, but just the fact that we should respect them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. That one's parents, even though they may grow old and return to childhood, metaphorically, and become senile, despite their weakness, their fragility, their old age, and their senility, despite their senile behavior and their nature, despite being putting up with so much of their awkward behavior, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, do not even as much as say uff to them. Not even as much as uff. Bear them. Tolerate them. Lower the wing of humility for them. Be humble before them and bear them with patience. Tolerate them with patience. Now that they have returned to their childhood in a way, then tolerate them as they tolerated your awkwardness and your misbehavior and your misspeech and your misdeeds in your childhood. When you were weak and when you were wayward and awkward, they bore you with patience and they tolerated you. Now you must do the same. One must show respect to one's parents. One must show respect to one's elders. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever does not respect and revere our elders and does not show compassion to our young, then he is not of us. Allah Azza wa Jal has imposed upon the believers that they show respect to those who are older than them. we are expected to show respect to people of seniority. Parents, and not just parents, but even an older brother, an older sister, uncles and aunts. Anyone of old age, even a stranger of old age, are related to you. The hadith of Tirmidhi earlier, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a young man in his youth respects and serves an older man, then in his old age, Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise a young man who will serve him and respect him just as he did before.